Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, Rendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw Matt Chat. This is the show where we take Patreon submitted video questions.
Yeah.
From $20 and up per month. I know. Seems a little pricey. A little bit much. However, given the premium time that our show money demands, I don't know where I'm going with that one. Look, man, you're getting on YouTube on a show that gets about 10, 15,000 views a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
$20 is a good deal as far as I'm concerned. Anyways, I want to say thanks to all the patrons out there. If you want to submit your question to Matt Chat, all you got to go is patreon.com/Steven Larson, and you too can have your question featured here on Matt Chat.
Yes.
And then watch all the YouTube comments complain about them. Yeah. Anyways, we're going to kick things off with... this is interesting.
It's a different question coming to us, sent to us by Vincent Palmieri.
But, a longtime patron. We love Vincent, and we love him especially a lot more now.
Yeah, but he's special guest asking
this
question.
We have a special guest.
So let's just go to it.
Hello, wrestling fans. This is Kenny Omega. This is my question to each and every one of you. What is it that you think makes a good wrestling match? What is it that you think makes a good show? What is it that you think makes a good performer?
Thank you, Vincent.
And thank you, Kenny.
And thank you, Kenny Omega. That was unexpected.
Very much
so. It's funny because Vincent DM'd me and he was like, hey, you know, why wasn't my question on Matt Chat last week? And I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. We got a little bit later than we, you know, we usually do. We had already shot the episode. We would have done like a pickup the next day, but we had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And he said, I was really curious to see your response to the video submission guest.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything about it. I thought it was like one of his friends or something being goofy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we just opened it today and we're like, well, that's different.
That's Kenny Omega.
That's really neat. That's like the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
So that was cool. So thank you very much, Vincent. That was neat.
Yes.
So, Kenny wants to know what makes a good wrestling match,
a good show, a good performer. I'm going to buck tradition. I'm going to go first.
Okay.
It's all about storytelling, Steve.
Do I usually go first?
Yeah, I usually go first.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
It's all about storytelling. The most affecting matches that resonate with audiences are all about storytelling. People remember spots.
Mm-hmm.
They remember spots. But unless they're packaged within a match that tells a good story, people aren't going to so much remember the match. Like, when you think of Hell in a Cell 98, you think of the spots.
Yeah.
You don't think the story of the match, because whatever story was probably trying to be told was tossed aside after Mick Foley went through that cage when he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, but that's also one of like the best known, most memorable matches ever.
Yeah, because of the two spots. But if you want to have a match that really, really gets to people, you got to tell a great story.
Or have a guy send through a cage. That totally did get to people.
Yeah, but that's a momentary thing. I'm talking about...
I agree with you. It's just a bad example.
Yeah, probably. It's the first one popped in my head.
That's good.
I'm still blown away that we got Kenny Omega to ask us a question. All right? This isn't your usual episode of Matt Chat here, Steve.
Okay.
You got your dog clawing at the door over there trying to get in. And we got Kenny Omega on the show. I'm a little off my game right now.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
No,
I'll get it back. No. Anyways, it's all about storytelling.
I like your answer. That's
the reason Omega and Okada's matches were so great was not just because they were well wrestled, because they were telling a good story.
Yeah.
And people were getting engrossed in that story. And if I think back of all the great matches that I personally love, it's all about storytelling. WrestleMania 28, end of an era match.
Mm-hmm.
Great storytelling throughout that match.
Yep.
Cena Styles at SummerSlam 2016. Great story. Story, 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 story. If you put a good story in the match, the audience just has to sit there and watch it and get wrapped up in it. And when the story ends, they pop. If it's satisfying, if it's a crap ending, then it takes kind of the wind out of the building. But anyways, that's my answer. It's all about storytelling.
All right.
My favorite wrestlers are probably the best storytellers in my estimation.
It's hard for me to disagree with that because I am completely on board with what you're saying. What we like to look at specifically ongoing in Raw when we're recapping whatever episode it is the storytelling. We love New Japan because they tell stories in the ring. It's all in-ring based storytelling. When now 205 Live, it's the same thing. It's all about storytelling. So I'll piggyback onto this a little bit. One thing that is outside the realm of storytelling to a degree could be argued is one thing that we like to say, legacy. Mm. I think of that end of an era match and I think of all the legacy it has behind it that built to that. And yes, that played into the story, but there is something about seeing two guys who have such a storied history based on storytelling tear it up in the ring. Kenny and Okada, by their third match, they had built that legacy already because of their trilogy or because of the two matches preceding that. What you're saying is right. It's storytelling. There's nothing else. I mean, it's storytelling. You can honestly, you can get two guys who are shit wrestlers. If they know how to tell a story, you're going to be affected by mm-hmm. that match. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that you can really be a shit wrestler in order, like, I think
part of,
I
being,
think
a good part of being a good is wrestler being a good storyteller,
is yeah. being a good storyteller.
I understand your point. You don't have to be the best technical wrestler
right, exactly,
to yeah. tell a good story
right, exactly.
in the ring. Yes.
So, I agree with that completely. So, sorry, Kenny. We agreed. There was no debate there.
Not really.
Yeah.
I tried to sabotage my own point, but mm-hmm. I brought it back around.
Yeah. Cool outfits. I like cool outfits.
Yeah.
Big hair.
Okay, so...
Big hair. Being loud.
All right, so like the 80s or the heyday of wrestling in your estimation.
Yeah, you want like loud people.
Like Cena?
Yeah, when he's calling spots.
He's like
ring, yeah.
commenting. He's like providing director's commentary on his own storytelling there.
It's all just tomfoolery. We have another good question here from Thayer Thabata. I love Thayer Thabata. All you other patrons, remember this. Thayer keeps his questions to like 20 seconds or less.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of our previous Matt Chat questionnaire, Kenny Omega, Thayer Thabata has a question about him.
Hey guys, so Strong Style Evolved is this weekend, and the main event is going to be Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks. So my question is simple. Who should go over in that match? Not who will, but who should go over? Young Bucks or Golden Lovers? Thanks.
Thank you, Thayer Thabata.
Thank you, Thayer Thabata. You can go first now.
Who goes over is the Young Bucks. To further the story, conflict, the Golden Lovers. I mean, look, this is arguably the biggest, this is the biggest match so far for the Golden Lovers. I think it would be foolhardy for them simply to get this win over the Young Bucks. That would kind of feel like it's too easy. It's too gift wrapped to them. Young Bucks go over. Thereby, number one, there's two things here. Young Bucks are not going to split up anytime soon. I don't think they're probably ever going to split up because they've said as much that they don't want to split up. They are on the path to becoming, they claim, and I agree, best tag team in the world right now. They're about to enter the heavyweight division. They need to make an impact. I think more than Kenny and Kota Ibushi need to make an impact. It could be through nefarious means. It could be through cheating. It could be through dirty tactics. Whatever. You can have a match where the Young Bucks go over and the Golden Lovers still look strong. But I think that there needs to be more tension for the Golden Lovers. I think that this can't just be a fairy tale bromance, if you will. I think they need to lose at Strong Style Evolved. They're probably not gonna because they want to send that crowd home super happy and the Golden Lovers embracing in the middle of the ring keep them super happy. They don't want to have like some, you know, sad finish. So that's probably going to have them go over. But I think if you want to increase the tension of the storyline and then have their sequel at Dominion, and then maybe the Golden Lovers can go over there after the Young Bucks have established themselves in the heavyweight division as a team to reckon with.
I'm going to take some
conflict
of your points as far as conflict and drama, but kind of invert it.
Okay.
So you mentioned the Young Bucks are making the leap to the heavyweight division. Yes, coming from the junior division, in theory, that shouldn't be easy.
Yeah, right.
Because for the most part, they're going to be overmatched in terms of size.
Yeah.
Granted, Omega and Ibushi are former junior heavyweights in their own right. Still, they are larger competitors than the Young Bucks, so that they could tell the story of the Young Bucks facing some adversity, making the jump to the heavyweight tag division. This is how I can see things playing out. Hard-fought match. Give them 30 minutes. Golden Lovers pick up the win. Coming into this match, there's beef between the two teams about who is the greatest tag team in the world. At the end of which, Golden Lovers pick up the win. Young Bucks realize they've been bested. Kenny, still their friend. They, in a sign of respect, shake hands, middle of the ring. Not only send the crowd home happy, not only we get the Golden Lovers winning, we get the Golden Lovers winning and the Young Bucks shaking their hands. Everybody goes home happy in that case.
That
increases the tensions within Bullet Club. This is all part of the larger Bullet Club story.
Yeah. I don't know. You're probably right. I don't want to see the bad guys win. Are the Young Bucks really the bad guys?
No,
in this
they're
situation?
Getting manipulated by Cody. Cody's the bad guy.
Cody is the bad guy. He's a great bad guy, by the way.
He is.
He's fantastic.
I need to catch up on Being the Elite before we
I
go
know,
to the show.
Me too.
Apparently, sure. He's manipulating everybody left and right.
Oh, I know.
He's encouraging the Young Bucks to venture out as singles competitors.
He's a real so and so. Oh,
yeah, he
I
is.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
Ooh, wow. All right. Anyways, next up, we have I like this question.
This is a great question.
This is a great question, and it's a great idea from AO Worm. Let's see what he has to say.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy AO Worm here, back from the Matt Chat debate. So, my question is, guys, if you guys can make your own submission-based tournament, like your Mae Young, your Cruiserweights, your Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classics, one, who would you name the tournament after? Would it be a memorial tournament or just like a regular tournament or such? And who would you have some of the participants be in this tournament? All right, guys, take it easy.
Thank you, AO Worm.
Thank you, AO Worm.
I'm going to go first.
Okay.
I'm going to take AO Worm a slight step further, not just a submission-based tournament, kind of a scripted shoot tournament.
Oh.
Shoot style wrestling, but they can choreograph it a la pro wrestling.
Sure.
So not quite Pancrase, but somewhere between Pancrase and pro wrestling as we know it. And if that's what I want, then there's only one name.
What's Pancrase?
That was like early MMA stuff. That's what
Ken
Shamrock fought. And the man I'm naming this tournament after.
Oh!
And that is Minoru Suzuki. Right, I believe one of the co-founders of Pancrase. I could be wrong about that. I thought I read that somewhere.
I love that you just made it up a word. That's great.
It's Pancrase. That's what they called it.
Pancrase. Pancreas. It's a large gland
behind
the...
pancreas. You looked up pancreas.
Behind the stomach.
Pancrase.
Like that?
No, S-E.
S-E, Pancrase.
Yeah.
Oh, you meant Pancrase.
Okay, yeah.
You said Pancrase. Oh. I know, I'm well-versed in Pancrase.
Okay, fine. Who started it?
I'm joking, I have no idea what this is.
Oh, Minoru Suzuki was one of the co-founders.
And so was Shamrock.
So there you go. I want something kind of like that. I could say it's hybrid wrestling there, something like that. Maybe not, you know, potentially a little bit safer.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, a shoot-inspired wrestling tournament I think would be outstanding. Name it after Minoru Suzuki, the legend.
Yeah.
Have it be the Minoru Suzuki Invitational Shoot Wrestling Tournament.
I like it.
Here's some competitors. Zack Sabre Jr.
Perfect.
I don't have him on here. I'm going to add him right now. Matt Riddle.
Oh, I like it.
Former MMA fighter.
Good.
Kurt Angle.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Olympic wrestler.
All right, he's good.
Bryan Danielson.
There you go.
Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
Batista.
Ooh.
Because he did MMA for a little bit. And finally, CM Punk.
Best in the world. Wow. I like this Pancrase stuff. That's great.
And, you know, any other...
what do you prefer, Pancrase or waffles?
Nice try. and, you know, any other noted wrestler who has extensive technical background, whether it be in amateur wrestling, MMA, anything like that, I think would be a welcome addition to the tournament. But, yeah... Minoru Suzuki Invitational. He can handpick the competitors. He can oversee the whole thing. May the person who wins this tournament gets to face off with Suzuki himself.
Oh, I like it. This is a very inspired answer. I like my answer better, though. The Dean Malenko Invitational. All the mat-based submission wrestlers in the WWE 205 Live. We're talking about now Daniel Bryan. We're talking about
Drew Gulak.
Johnny Gargano. Roderick Strong. Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, pretty much everybody in the European, in the UK
United
division.
Kingdom division. Yeah.
All these great, have Regal come out of retirement.
I almost named it after Regal. I almost thought about
that. That's a good one. Matt Bass Submission Wrestling. I think it'd be great. Dean Malenko Invitational.
Who goes over? Who wins in your tournament?
Drew Gulak. He's the future. He is the future. That match between him and Mustafa Ali. In the semifinals, 205 Live Cruiserweight Tournament Part 2. Man, holy crap.
I'm having Zack Sabre Jr. go over, so we get Zack Sabre Jr. versus Minoru Suzuki.
I like it. It's good.
fresh off his win in the New Japan Cup, Zack Sabre Jr.
This isn't real, though. This isn't
real. As far as I'm concerned, it's real, man.
Moving on, we've got another question from Chase. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, guys. I got a quick question. Is Becky Lynch hitting Dolph Ziggler territory? She's a good worker, insanely over with the crowd, but she hasn't really been given a good push since her last title reign. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Chase.
Thank you, Chase. She's definitely... Look, I'm not going to say she is yet, but she is, kind of. So Becky Lynch.
Well, we have first let's define Dolph territory. We're talking Dolph 2012, 2013, 2014, when he was still popular, but he wasn't getting any real, genuine, consistent opportunity. Are we talking Dolph now where people barely care?
Can I go with. People like her.
Yes.
People really like her.
Yes, that's why I don't make the delineation between the Dolph after he dropped the heavyweight belt. The 2 years after that, where he was still relatively popular, but he wasn't ever put in the main event again.
Okay,
or so the Dolph now, where people just kind of say, all right, it's Dolph. You know, I used to like you, but now.
No, it's not that. I see your point. She's in a really weird position where she's not Charlotte. I think the thing about Becky Lynch is that there's nothing overwhelmingly defining about her character. She is who she is, and she is a remarkable wrestler who is infinitely charming, and that should be enough. The problem is, and Becky, I'll put it this way, Becky Lynch would be perfect for a mid-card women's title because, I mean, look, I'd like to see her in the main event scene. I really would, and she deserves it. She's the first SmackDown women's champion, and I think she has a good shot at winning the Mania Women's Rumble. The problem is you've got Bayley, Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Asuka, now Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax. They're all a bit more specific with their characters' design. Not aesthetic design, but with who they are. There's something very specific about Alexa Bliss. They're going with this Mean Girls angle, which I'm not huge on, but she's also one of the best. She is the best talker in the women's division. And I'm pretty sure that's why she's got the title. And her character also, I know she's going to be without the title soon, but her character, kind of like Seth when he was a heel, kind of needed the title to give him that extra arrogance mm-hmm. that his character kind of needs to mm-hmm. get over to the level they are.
Yeah.
So Alexa kind of needs that title. Charlotte Flair is Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
Probably the best wrestler on the roster. Versus who?
Asuka.
Okay, there's Asuka. Asuka's god tier, okay?
All right.
And that's the thing about Asuka. Asuka's god tier.
Yeah.
Okay, she's about to have that title. She could have the other one if she wanted.
She should have both
titles. Okay,
we'll
she should
later.
Have both titles, okay?
We'll get to that later.
Asuka's Bruno, okay? Charlotte is below that a little bit, but not by much. It's Charlotte. Then you have Bayley, who's got a very specific character, and you've got Sasha Banks, who's a pretty specific character as well. So they all kind of occupy this space that's a bit more well-defined than Becky Lynch, at least in terms of like, I'll put it this way. You can describe every single one of those wrestlers with like a high concept pitch. And you can't really do that with Becky Lynch. So that's why I think she occupies that space. That being said, people love her. They absolutely love her. It's just, when is she going to get her time? There's no like in the near future, there's no reason for her to have her time because we keep on talking about Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, Asuka, Nia Jax, and Alexa Bliss. That's too many people, and there's only one title. That's the problem. It's like,
well, there's two titles on each show.
Yeah, for whatever brand you're on, you got one title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
But you're naming people there's, from both brands and said there's only one title.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, depending on where you go, there's one title.
Yeah, no, I know.
There's no mid-card title. There's no tag title.
Yet.
So, yeah, no, I it'd be great if there was a tag title. There's nothing else, you know. And when I think of Dolph, I think of missed title opportunities. You know, he had the world title, got concussed, had to give it up. It was handed to him again, and then he lost it to Randy Orton.
No,
he didn't like losing. I was thinking of Christian. Yeah. Who did he lose it to? He had it twice, and he had to drop it twice.
He had it to Edge. He dropped the Edge 10 minutes after getting it, and the second time was...
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It was Del Rio.
Even worse then. Yeah, okay. So that's where we sit with Becky Lynch. Yeah, I can see the parallels there. The key is Dolph, even back then, before he got concussed and had to drop it to Del Rio, he still had the world of potential. I think that last concussion really did him in, because since then he hasn't really been doing anything.
He's had moments. But
he's
nothing,
had moments. He's had good
nothing
feuds.
Nothing consistent, yeah.
But, you know, she needs and deserves and could use a good run with the title.
Yeah. It seems to me the SmackDown's philosophy in the women's division early on was try to, rather than focus on one competitor and build the division around that, they were trying to elevate everybody. So Becky won the title initially, held it for a while, and then dropped it. And to a certain extent, I think SmackDown did a decent job of building up the women's division, taking that approach. Because you know, when after the brand split, there was Becky, who was the standout right out of the gate. But then they had Alexa Bliss, who was kind of unproven even in NXT. Naomi, who was relatively inexperienced, and both them have been elevated thanks to SmackDown's approach. It hasn't been a success across the board, but I can use those two examples of women competitors who were elevated up to the championship level based on how SmackDown was booking things. Taking that approach, not focusing so much on one star and then building division around that one star, that's going to happen. People are going to have their time, and they're going to take a back seat while someone else has a turn. I kind of feel like that's what's happening with Becky right now. She's immensely popular. I'm curious how her merch sells. They could just think, okay, she's super popular. She's super over. She sells a decent amount of merch. We don't need to put a belt on her to elevate her to any degree.
You're probably exactly right.
So let's just keep her on TV every week. Keep her in situations where she can continue her popularity. And then when the time seems right, bang, you can put her right back in the main event, and she'll be it'd be an easy fit.
Yeah.
We were hoping for Mania, to a certain extent, we get Charlotte versus Becky, because they portrayed their relationship on screen, both as foes and friends. And I don't feel like, at least since they were both brought up from NXT, we've really seen a good feud between them. So, it just seemed like, okay, turn Becky heel, or don't even do a heel turn, just have them wrestle at Mania in the spirit of competition for the title. It would have been great.
The problem is, when's the last time Becky did anything relevant? I want to see her doing things that are interesting to me. And that's when you start diving into territory where
that's kind of SmackDown women's division as a whole is the booking of the last 6 months.
Yeah, it's not
hasn't
good.
Been terribly interesting.
It has
I mean,
not. Yeah.
Charlotte rarely defends the title.
Yeah, I know.
And that shouldn't be the case.
I know. Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think it's, it's nothing. As you said earlier, Becky's great. Great in the ring.
And I don't think, I think there is sort of a difference there is that we've seen flashes of Dolph, And it's been good, but like with Becky, we only saw I don't see people giving up on Becky anytime soon.
No,
and that's
won't.
That's kind of the difference.
Yeah.
But is there that danger? I don't know. Maybe they want a mid card belt. They need a tag title.
No, I think the women's divisions on each show would benefit from some sort of tag division.
Yep.
Greatly.
Let's see here. You gotta answer this guy.
Yeah.
Adam Mayhem.
Yeah, we'll answer his question.
This guy is the worst.
No.
Cheating. Did you see that footage of him at the, what do they call it? Best of the West tournament?
Oh, the low blow, yeah. Well, he's a heel.
Who's booking this guy to win everything?
He's a heel. He's supposed to win by nefarious means.
Oh, he's the worst. Let's see what he has to say.
Buenas tardes, friend of the universe. Bienvenidos to another edition of Chit Chat with the champ. Yep. It is what it is. Anyways, guys, my question for you guys this week is relatively simple, but I've been looking at the fact that all this WrestleMania matches, not all of them, but a whole lot of them, are multi-person. The triple threat for the U.S., triple threat for the Intercontinental Championship, the fact that the tag teams basically don't have anything on Raw, and then on SmackDown is probably going to be like three teams or anything like that. Anyways, do you think this is happening because there's not a lot of like actual stars and everybody's basically in the same level? Or is it that everybody's shining, everybody's deserving of being in WrestleMania instead of just having a one-on-one match? Anyway, guys, I want you to debate that, which one is which. Just have fun with it. See you later, guys.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
I love Adam Mayhem. I'm just joking.
Yeah, he's great. I go first.
I marked out when I saw him with that low blow. Wind because the people hated it.
Yeah. Man, that's heat.
It is. He got heat.
I go first.
I go first.
No, I go first. You went first last time.
I like that you said
I go first.
I go first.
Here's why there's so many matches with a bunch of people in at Mania. They're just trying to get everybody on the card. That's why the Battle Royals exist. Just try to get as many people on the card as possible. Get everybody a chance to be at WrestleMania. First and foremost, I don't know if it's so much as there's a lot of people on the same level.
Whether
it's
in the middle, that's the case.
Whether everybody kind of exists in this middle ground, or the star power of WWE across the board is so high that everybody exists on kind of like a higher level. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I just think there's so. I guess you can interpret what I'm about to say.
Kind of the same argument thing. Yeah,
I think the talent level in WWE right now is so high. And they've spent so little time in building new stars. I guess that can lend credence to your argument. I just think they think we have all this talent, these incredibly talented wrestlers. This is the most important, the largest show of the year. Let's give them some time on the show. I think that's more a reason than anything, especially for the Battle Royals.
It's all the same argument, to be honest with you. Because here's the thing, and this is they're already experiencing this problem that we predicted they were going to have when they started bringing everybody in to NXT. You have so many people occupying. I mentioned this during the Becky thing. People occupying the same space. You've got Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal, Randall Orton. They all could be main event. Jinder Mahal was champion for 6 months. They can all be main eventers, and right now they're fighting over a mid-card title.
Because you got AJ, you got Nakamura fighting over the world title.
Exactly.
And then you have Owens and Zayn going up against probably Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon.
Right, exactly. There is a lot of talent. Do they all occupy around the same space? When you compare them to Braun Strowman, to Brock Lesnar, like it or not, Roman Reigns, that's where they have them. With guys like AJ Styles, who is over everywhere, who's like the most over guy. And they're trying to get that way with Shinsuke, which I hope they succeed.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it's not a bad place to be in the company of Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, The Miz. It's not a bad company to be in, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
There are a whole lot of them. And so, yes, you can't put them all, and you wouldn't want to put them all in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And so, I mean, it's the same. It's when you bring so much talent in, something's got to give.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys need to retire. Randy Orton. Excuse me.
Some people just need to not re-sign.
Dolph Ziggler?
Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There is a glut in the middle. But, you know, because they're so good, they got to get everybody on the card. So it's kind of both things.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. All right.
Next, from Joe Jensen. Let's see what Joe Jensen has to say.
WWE superstars, are they obligated to give you autographs when you see them out in public? Or no? I say no. I'm trying to enjoy my Swagwizer in peace, you dumb son of a bitch. So that's my match hat question. And that's the bottom line, because Swag Cole said so.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Let's see here. Obligated to give you an autograph? What am I supposed to say? No. No, they're not obligated. No. Fuck off. Leave them alone. God damn it, man. They're at the airport? Or they're trying... Look, man, here's the thing. None of these people are walking around wanting to give you their autograph. They're walking around out there. They're in public because they have to be. Because people have shit to do in their lives. They're either at the airport, in which nobody wants to be at the airport. They're out getting food. I saw a tweet where some jackass had his brother. They were at the Waffle House or IHOP. It was after a show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a picture of a guy on a bench. And then two, like, sort of people lengths down was Kevin Owens, seemingly unaware that a picture was being taken. The guy tweeted it at Kevin Owens and said, "Hey, man, hope you don't mind that we sneaked this picture. You had a great show tonight. I was just too shy to say anything because you're with your son." And Kevin Owens responded, "You could have just said hi. It was really creepy because I heard the camera sound that your brother's phone made." Fuck off with that. That's so rude.
Mm-hmm.
That is so unbelievably rude. Just let the man be with his son and be okay with knowing that hey, it's kind of cool. Kevin Owens is here. Right on. Maybe I should just fuck off and leave him alone.
Yeah, it's a story you can tell your friend.
Right, exactly.
You don't need photographic evidence of it.
Right, exactly. So, no, they don't owe you shit. Now, go ahead and let
us know. Well, no, you're right. You just because you're a fan, you're in no way entitled to anything from these performers.
Right.
In terms of autographs or any of that. But I will say this. If you do want an autograph from a WWE superstar, don't do it at the airport. Don't do it while they're eating. If you walk up to them and politely say, "Hi, Mr. Rollins, it's nice to meet you." Again, not at the airport, not when they're eating, not when they're doing anything with their family.
Assess the situation. Yes.
If the body language you're getting from Seth Rollins is, "I've slept 2 hours, I have to go get my rental right. car," then just say, "Big fan, have a good day."
Right.
But don't, if you run up to him and go, "Oh my God, Seth Rollins, can you sign this?" He's going to be like, "Okay." I mean, he might do it.
Yeah.
He's not going to enjoy it, probably. Here's the thing. Just be respectful of their time, of their space, and just be polite. And read body language. I know it's exciting to see someone in public who's famous and stuff, and because it doesn't happen very often, it can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they're people too.
They
need their space.
Yeah, they're exhausted.
Yeah.
The schedule is not easy.
And if you go up to them and you ask them to sign something, they're like, "Sorry, I can't do it right now." Just don't be rude.
Yeah.
Don't be rude. You're not entitled to anything.
Yeah.
Just say, "Okay, have a good one." And let him get on with his day.
Yeah.
They're human beings too. Just remember that. They're human beings.
And on top of that, people pay prime money to do exactly that with them. They're called meet and greets.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay like $500 and you get to keep the front row chair and you get to meet them and greet them.
Or, the comic conventions
and
stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities.
They'll do meet and greets there. They won't cost you $500.
Man. But yeah, if you're sitting at a Hooters and you're watching a WWE pay-per-view, and The Miz is right next to you.
Before he was Miz.
He was The Miz. You know, hey, if it's just like anybody else, if you strike up a conversation, if Seth Rollins is sitting right here at a bar, "Hey, man, I really like your work."
I like your work. Who designs your shirts for your wrestling academy?
You go. Why don't you have him do the WWE? Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Well, I don't know if I go that far.
Oh, I would. I believe he's really
good. From what I understand, here's a great place.
Because there has to be a reason.
If you want to get autographs from wrestlers at the arena where they're performing, find out where the entrance is. Countless times I've seen pictures on Twitter, videos, on various programs where wrestlers will stop, they'll see fans lined up, they'll take pictures, they'll sign autographs, because that's the time and place to do it.
And to his credit, Kevin Owens on Twitter was very diplomatic when the guy was like, "Hey, I'm truly sorry, blah, blah, blah." He was like, "It's okay just to say hi.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. I'm not going to bite or anything."
Yeah.
But doing that is kind of rude.
Yeah.
He was very diplomatic. But nobody's obligated to give you an autograph, you know. So
yeah,
there you go.
We agree on that one.
We agree with that. Don't be a creep. Just don't be a creep. I'll say this: like whenever we go to a wrestling show, we usually get recognized once or twice.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine. It always tickles me. It's always very cool because
everybody's super nice. Yeah,
everybody's really nice.
We haven't had a creepy experience.
But imagine being. I've had one.
Oh, that's
but
right.
Imagine being. Like a Seth Rollins, I couldn't imagine that level. That has to be maddening.
I know.
It's at certain times.
Yeah,
at certain times it's probably amazing, but
yeah,
it's got to be maddening sometimes.
Yeah.
People like that was gonna be my other point. Especially the wrestlers who are bigger. I've heard this from several people during my life, friends of mine that have been bigger. You know, like tall, and sometimes people just want like. I remember this a couple like when we had the parties back in the day. People want to start fights with big men because they drunkenly want to prove something to themselves.
Something like that, yeah.
If you're a big wrestler and somebody comes running up on you, you don't know what their intentions are.
Yeah.
They might be crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be cool.
Yeah, just be cool. Or they're human beings.
Yeah. What the heck?
They get tired. They get grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
They want time to themselves.
Yeah, man. Are you kidding me?
Just consider all that.
Luke Mahoney has a question about the Neville level.
Yeah.
See what he has to say.
What's up, Stephen Larson? Got another Matt Chat question here for you. This one is about the king of the cruiserweights, Neville. So, I'd like for you to debate, or war against each other, as it were. One of you can take the side of WWE with all their resources. What are you going to do? What are you going to offer Neville to win him back? And the other one of you is the up-and-coming indie promotion with no money and no resources. What can you say to Neville to convince him to ditch WWE and come join you and get a fresh start? Thanks, friendos. Too sweet. Shoot foot break. F you.
Thank you, Luke Mahoney.
Thank you, Luke Mahoney. Yeah, if I'm WWE, I add a couple zeros at the end of his paycheck, and I say, what show do you want to be on?
Wow, a couple? You might take him from 1 million to 100 million. Be careful with that, pal.
He's the king.
Oh, the king deserves 100 million.
Yeah, he's king of the cruiserweights, man.
Wow.
All right, one more zero.
Okay.
You add some money to his check, but more than anything, you have a conversation with him. Because if his problem with being on 205 Live, well, I mean, like losing to Enzo.
I don't want to drop to Enzo.
Yeah. But also, I think beyond that, I guess the gist I got was that Neville saw 205 Live as kind of a dead end. You end up on 205 Live, you're a cruiserweight, and that's it.
Yeah.
You don't get opportunities for advancement further up the card on Raw or SmackDown. Yeah, man, so I'd have a talk, have a conversation, say, okay, we understand this. You know, and if the vision for 205 Live is not that, impart that upon Neville. And even if it is, change it.
Yeah.
Impart that upon Neville that the vision for the show is not your 205 Live. And you're 205 Live, and you can never really go up the card on Raw or SmackDown for mid-card belts or world titles.
Yeah.
Tell that to him. Say, we would like for you to be a foundational piece of 205 Live
mm-hmm.
for now.
Mm-hmm.
Your work you did as Mean Neville, outstanding. We think we can use that to build the brand of 205 Live. And then once, you know, spend a year or so there, there'll be other opportunities for you on Raw or SmackDown up the card because you're a very, very good heel.
Mm-hmm.
I would pitch it to him that way because regardless of who else tries to woo Neville, WWE gives him the largest platform possible to show off his skill set.
Mm-hmm.
No other company has the reach of WWE.
W Steve W does. I'm gonna pick up from there. Neville, I'm starting up this company.
You want to come wrestle for Bologna Sandwich, Neville?
No. Look, I've raised some capital. I've been doing some fan funding stuff. We're letting fans co-own the company. Do you want a piece of the company? I'll give you a $20 stake in my company. How about that?
$20 stake, not 20%,
$20. $20 stake, right? And so
hopefully he's comfortable wrestling out of your backyard.
You get that? And listen, you get to be the centerpiece. You can't be the centerpiece in WWE. There's too much damn talent there. Everybody's at the mid-level. Nobody's at the Neville level. You're never going to be the Neville level. But here, you can be the centerpiece of our promotion. We'll call it WNW, World Neville Wrestling. It'll be all about you, your face everywhere.
You're wrestling in Steve's backyard in front of his family and five other random people.
I'm sure. Hey, Neville, we can draw Neville. Or we can make him a draw. We'll get like all of Sacramento. I'll say, you know, I know some good hookers in Midtown.
Oh, dear.
I'll slob your knob, Neville.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. You have no chance.
No.
You have no chance of that. He's going to New Japan if he can't figure shit out.
Yeah, he's either going to New Japan or Ring of Honor if he can't work things out with WWE.
Raw after Mania, he'll be back.
I hope so.
Raw after Mania.
I hope so.
Should be.
Next up from Brian Kelly. Let's see what Brian Kelly has to say.
Hey, Steven Larson, the Brian Kelly here. This is my first question. I'm a first-time Patreon. Very excited to be on the show. Very excited to be a part of the Patreon community and the Friendo universe and all that good stuff. So here's my question. I've always thought that the women's division should have their own show on the WWE Network on Thursdays, like a 205 Live NXT thing. They can still have the matches on Raw and SmackDown like they do with the cruiserweights occasionally, but have a main show on Thursdays, an hour long, where it's all just women's storyline, women's wrestling. Give them some tag titles, give them a secondary title, maybe a TV title or a network championship, I guess, and let those storylines really develop. And you can go so many different ways with that, giving them an hour. Put them in a venue where the crowd all shows up at the same time, like at NXT, where they can, you know, really gain a following and see what happens there. I don't know. I don't care who takes which side. You can just talk about it, just debate it. I think it'd be a great idea. All right. I'll see you guys later.
Thank you, Brian Kelly.
So we had kind of this question before, not too long ago. And I think I was supposed to argue yay for a woman's show.
Yeah, you did.
And I did. And you were supposed to argue nay, but then you were like, no, that's a good idea, actually. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had an idea while listening to his question, because we've thought it would be interesting to see what they could do if Asuka were to win the SmackDown and Raw women's title. And if they were to do that, I can see a woman standalone show as an extension of that.
Yeah.
Where she can defend the belt on either show, but also she can show up on this, in Brian Kelly's case, Thursday night show, have the women's tag division.
Okay, so here is my idea for back then, and it's sort of what I'd love to see happen. Oh, let me ask you something really quick, because I like the idea of this question here. 205 Live.
Yeah.
Would they have a... If 205 Live changed venues, like we've always advocated, and they kept it the way it is with no upward mobility, wouldn't they have a really hard time attracting people?
Yeah.
They would have a really hard time attracting people. Yeah. Because one of the appealing things right now for 205 Live, regardless, you get to perform in front of...
Larger audiences,
and that's probably the appeal. You're in a WWE ring.
Yeah.
You know.
In these large basketball arenas.
But here's the thing. 205 Live, NXT, a woman's division-specific show, and the UK division all need to be treated like territories. The cream rises to the top, right? And so they would all be varying levels of developmental. Like NXT could have their true developmental area, but then you would graduate up to like the main program in NXT. You'd graduate up to the women's show. You'd graduate up. Well, the UK division is kind of different. That's more of a territory.
Yeah.
But
I think if you're going to have a women's show, you need champions. In beyond a mid-card title or a tag title, I think it would benefit the show greatly to have, in this case, Asuka show up.
Okay, yeah.
Let's say she has to wrestle every week, but you can start, you can have storylines that are going on Raw and SmackDown. And especially if they have a women's tag division, I don't know, I mean, if they start bringing up some of the Mae Young signees, then you have the depth from which to have, you know, like a real tag division of actual depth. But if not, then it makes sense to have one set of tag belts, but have it cross brand.
Yeah.
Or interbrand, whatever, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
And then, you know, you can have the women's show have some of the storylines play out there as well as on Raw or SmackDown. And maybe some people that watch Raw get invested in those storylines, might tune into SmackDown to see how they carry, you know, how they play out, and also on the women's show.
Yeah. Yeah, they could definitely do something like that. They have a lot of people that are signed that are, I mean, now a little bit less because
they released some of the...
They released some of them, yeah.
Mae Young Classic competitors.
Is this next question a text question?
Yes, the remaining questions are text questions. We have four text questions today.
First from Victor Krause. Hey guys, I recently watched a 24-hour special about the women's rumble they put on the network. Watching that, I come to think about, would you like to see Stephanie McMahon turn face? I kind of feel like the heel stuff with her is off compared to what she does and how she is supposedly outside the heel stuff. So when you see her in, like, you know, outside kayfabe, outside of character.
Well, even when she's announcing the Women's Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When she's starting, when she's bringing the call-out from NXT to kickstart the Women's Revolution, those are very face moments for Stephanie.
So, yeah, I'm down with that. I think transitioning into that role could work in two ways. Number one, it would simply get away from the kind of tired-out thing that we've gotten from her in the first place. And number two... I kind of like the idea of the WWE transitioning into like a bit further out of kayfabe, and you'd start doing that. You know, you have like Stephanie just being Stephanie and making announcements like the Women's Rumble. It might be difficult because people are so hardwired into, you know, chanting CM Punk at her and booing her. I think she's a fantastic heel, but I just think that her shtick is a bit tired. And she does so well when she's being, you know, corporate Stephanie and talking about, you know, how good the company does and how forward thinking they want to be and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. If for no other reason, it'd be something different. Sure. Why not? Try it.
McMahons love their heel authority figures.
They certainly do.
They think it helps generate ratings when you have top of the card faces square up against them.
Pancrase.
As we're seeing now with the Stephanie Ronda Rousey thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if Steph were to turn face, it would have to be like a year from now after this whole Ronda Rousey storyline is concluded.
Yeah.
If they're going to try to build Ronda Rousey up a la Stone Cold, they need to invest a lot of time.
It's kind of a necessity.
Yes. So short term, no, I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of... It, there was a spell where it seems like when she was on Raw far more often, when it was like segment to segment, she was being face heel or face Steph or heels Steph.
Face heel, yeah.
So I guess from my point of view, just pick a path and go with it.
Yeah,
be consistent,
okay. Yeah.
More than anything.
Breaking
what?
News.
What?
We've got a video question from Daryl the Cat Takahashi.
Oh.
And then we've got three more text questions.
Yeah.
What a long episode.
What's good, Stephen Larson, many friendos out there. It's the Cat, Daryl Takahashi. My question for Matt Chat this week is, besides someone like Ricochet or anyone in the UK division, what singles male competitor on the NXT roster do you feel has the biggest potential if booked right and used right on the main roster? Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Daryl the Cat Takahashi.
Thank you.
I'll go first.
Okay.
It's one answer. It's the only answer. It's Aleister Black. This man has success, riches, power written all over him. Oh, my God. If they're not going to debut him on the Raw After Mania, probably next year, like a year from the Raw After Mania, and it's going to be massive. It's going to be huge. It's going to be amazing. His question was, if he's booked right, the sky is the limit on Aleister Black. Oh, my gosh. He is my Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Adam Cole, baby! Here's why. Adam Cole is one of the best talkers in the wrestling business.
Oh, for sure.
Put a mic in his hand is like he's where he's most comfortable.
Yeah.
And for that reason, he's going to get himself over.
No, big time.
He's a good wrestler.
Yep.
Great talker.
Yes.
Give him some great segments. He can get himself over. Build upon it. Give him a bring back story time with Adam Cole.
Yeah.
You know, we've had Jericho's highlight reel. We've had Christian's peep show. Bring back Adam story
That's
time with Adam
happen.
Cole.
That's
yeah.
going to happen.
On the main roster.
Yeah.
He is going to get over so fast.
Big time.
He's funny. He's charming. Just when he's a heel, just sinister enough. It's Adam Cole, baby.
Two great answers. We have another text question from El Pupacabra. Would you rather be a wrestler ahead of his time who could actually wrestle and is considered by some to be the GOAT? We're talking about Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair. Or be a current age wrestler who is a standout performer slash wrestler in an age where just about everybody is a super athlete. We're talking about AJ Styles or Kenny Omega.
Oh, if you can be in any situation where you can have the label GOAT attached to your name, you take that. You take that. You take the opportunity to be put up there on a Mount Rushmore of wrestling.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's legacy.
Yeah.
And granted, AJ Styles and Kenny Omega have had, you know, storied careers up to this point. Kenny Omega has had arguably two of the best matches of all time. If you have an opportunity to be called one of the greats, the greatest.
All right, that's
you
fine.
You take that opportunity.
But listen, Kenny Omega, okay, it's one thing to be called the GOAT, but to be the GOAT amongst GOATs, to be the best in a time when everybody is the best, to be the best-est, the true EST. Are you kidding me? In this golden era of amazing wrestling, to be Okada? Are you kidding me? Of course you want to be Okada. Absolutely. You want to be the best-est.
The best during the best wrestling.
That's what you want to be. You can be Shawn Michaels in an era of Marty Jannetty's.
Well, be Ric Flair in an era of Ricky Steamboat's. That's pretty darn good.
Stone Cold in an era of Rock's. Give me that, man.
Well, that's kind of middle ground.
No, well, that was like my best ass thing.
You know, oh,
there's
right.
a lot of good people there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look at back then, you Attitude Era, you got Undertaker, Mankind, Stone Cold, Rock, Triple H, Jericho, people like that.
Yeah.
But to be Stone Cold, or I guess The Rock, I don't know, whichever one. Anyways. Dead Riot has a text question, too. He says, would like you guys to debate whether or not WWE should bring in the New Japan rules of 20-second countout, not 10, but like a faster 20.
Yeah.
And no championship advantage so the belt can change hands via countout or DQ. Yes! 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 Those are a couple things from New Japan that I absolutely love and think should absolutely I hate. And for some reason they do it too often. These countout losses that don't result in title changes, DQ, bullcrap. It doesn't make any sense for somebody who wants to keep their title to just not get counted out all the time. You know, if you're a heel, you don't care about looking like an asshole. Why not? Why aren't you just leaving?
Here's I mostly agree with you, but here's two cases in which I don't. Winning by count out or DQ doesn't feel as definitive as winning, beating somebody by pinning them or making them submit.
That's true.
And in a lot of championship matches, that might feel a tad underwhelming. Mm-hmm. There's nothing definitive about it. I mean, you could say, yeah, two people got beat up, or one person just beat someone up so bad outside the ring, and they just went back in the ring and got a 10 count. Well, if you're going to do that, toss the person back in the ring and pin them.
Yeah.
You know? If you want to see a title change hands, you want it to feel definitive.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Okay.
So that would be my only caveat.
Yeah, you're probably right. And plus, on top of that, count DQ count out, you know, without the title changing, can be used for storytelling. Yeah. They just do it too much.
I know.
It should be like a once a year thing.
I know.
You know?
Like, I do.
Oh my God, that happened?
I do like how they use countouts in New Japan, though.
Me too, yeah.
There's actually drama involved with both of them.
Yeah.
Or they try to install some drama in them.
Jimmy, right? You know what I also like about New Japan? Bring back the time limit countdown.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
2 minutes.
Oh, they do that all the time.
No, in WWE.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that to WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy Rodriguez has our final text-based question, last question for the day. Who annihilated a Roman worse, Braun or Brock Lesnar?
It's Braun.
It's Braun! There's no debate to be had!
Braun spent about 6 months annihilating Roman.
Yes!
He turned over an ambulance with Roman inside. Before that, he turned over the stretcher he was laying on. He threw it off like a stage.
Give me a break,
man. A platform.
Brock Lesnar was handling Roman with pillow arms the other night on Raw.
Compared, just watch their match at Payback.
I know Braun when he does his power slam, but there is so much more than power slams when it came to Braun Roman. I love that feud. It was so much
fun. It
was
fantastic.
It was just destruction. Roman was, you know, he was getting in the mix, destroying things. Braun was great.
Yeah.
That feud made Braun.
Yep.
And it really put Roman over in my eyes in many ways.
Same. But the answer is Braun. Brock, it was kind of an underwhelming beatdown.
Yeah, a little bit. Anyways. I almost threw my chicken sandwich up. That's it for Matt Chat. Want to say thanks to everybody, especially Vincent Palmieri, for bringing Kenny Omega to our show. Do we need to get like a release from Kenny for this?
Doesn't seem like it.
Anyways, that's
well, maybe we'll see him at All In. We'll talk to him.
Yeah, maybe. There you go. We'll say, hey, look, he gave us this thing. We weren't going to not use it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Anyways, that's it for now. Thanks for watching. Till next time. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.